Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, I just wanted to make sure that you listening right now know to send us your questions. For episode 50, we will be doing an Ask Me Anything. So ask us anything. Ask Matt something, ask Adrian something, and ask little me something, or ask us all something. Just send in your questions to info@butwhythoughpodcast.com or just send us them on Twitter @butwhythoughpc or Facebook at facebook.com/butwhythoughpc. Also, if you're interested in supporting us a little more, you can head on over to patreon.com/butwhythoughpc. There you'll get access to our research notes, episodes early, extra content, and a little something more when it comes to the new year. So thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
Christmas time is once a year. Every critter holds it dear. Every animal, big or small. Christmas means so much to us all. It's once a year, it's Christmas time. And it happens once a year. It's once a year at Christmas time.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be having a holly jolly episode where we are going to be talking about pretty much everything Christmassy and holiday specially. I'm going to go with that. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
So since Adrian had his Christmas tree up faster than anybody I know in my life, Adrian will be bringing us through this holiday special. Take it away, Mr. Claus.
Hey, ho, ho, ho. Insert holiday line here. So for this holiday special, we're going to be talking about basically everything holiday specially. So movies, TV specials, episode specials, things that went straight to like made for TV holiday specials and everything like that. For our intro question, since we're going to talk about our favorites like later on in the episode, I guess we'll just go with, what are your feelings about the holidays? Are you a Scrooge or are you Elf? Buddy the Elf.
Are you Buddy the
Elf? That's a pretty good spectrum.
We'll go with Matt first.
I hate this time of year, and I don't like Christmas at all. And if I could just sit at home and not have to see anybody, I would be totally happy. But apparently you have to have family obligations, and you're supposed to be, it's frowned upon to go see people, to not go see people.
And I have to go see two families.
Yeah.
All right, Scrooge, Kate.
So, as usual, I hate the holidays when I'm out in public. So, like, when I'm shopping and I have to deal with people and people being, like, really vicious in line and having worked retail, I hate it in public. But in the comfort of my own home, I love the holidays. I love Christmas. I love decorating. And I really, really love giving gifts to people.
Fun fact, we have a Christmas tree because Kate said I didn't have to go anywhere if we got a tree.
That is a fun fact. That's how we got our Christmas tree.
And for me, obviously, since running the episode, I love the holiday season. I kind of always have. I don't know. It's always been, like, my favorite time of the year, I think, just because it's the one time of year where, like, legit magic always happens for, like, my family. Like, my mom says every single year without fail, and I'm 24 now. She's like, we're not going to do a lot for Christmas. But then she just gives, like, amazing gifts and things like that, and we exchange amazing gifts, and we do the same Christmas traditions we do every year. I'm not religious by any stretch of the imagination, but I love the spirit of the holiday season, not so much like the secular side of it, for sure.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't. All my favorite Christmas songs are the non-secular ones. So
no, I think you're using that word wrong. Secular means that it's not religious.
Oh yeah, non-secular. Whichever one gives
Frosty
the Snowman.
Secular. You want secular.
Non-secular means you all about that baby Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, all of my favorite Christmas songs are not secular.
So you like the baby Jesus songs?
No.
then all your favorite Christmas songs are secular. Secular means detached from religion.
Did I say non-secular? What did I say?
You kept saying non-secular.
You keep saying non-secular. But you mean secular.
Yeah, that. Fuck the baby Jesus Christmas songs. I just want to sing Winter Wonderland and Mariah Carey.
That's all I want. Secular.
That's all I want.
And it's religious versus the secular. You like the secular.
This is how much I don't give a shit about baby Jesus songs. I hate them. I just want Frank Sinatra singing me my music about the holiday season.
I really just want to listen to Mariah Carey.
No.
Like, nonstop. Mariah Carey songs are good.
No.
Yes.
Good when she could sing. She can't sing them anymore.
Well, no, I don't think it's that she can't sing them. I think that she's hit the point where she's like, y'all already gave me all my money. I don't care if I sing this.
Did you hear it last year when she was, like, terrible?
Gosh. Oh, that was so bad.
Oh, man. So bad.
I've also seen her, like, get, like, pushed in a rolly chair so she didn't have to walk, so that's about how she's living her life, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I don't know.
She's hit the point where eggnog. She gets a rascal.
Ooh, that should have been my intro question. Do you like eggnog or not? Should my intro question.
Do you like eggnog?
I like eggnog when it's in a can, which is actually very hard to find, but I do not like eggnog when it's in a carton.
Have you ever had homemade eggnog?
I want to say once, and it was okay. But I'm not used to getting homemade eggnog.
I do not like eggnog at all. I think it tastes funny. But we always did champurrado, and then, like, they just put alcohol in that.
I like eggnog. I like homemade eggnog. I like any kind of eggnog. I've never had eggnog that I don't like, to be honest.
I don't think I've ever had homemade. I think if I had homemade, it might be different.
I didn't have homemade eggnog until I started dating Stefani, and she was like, oh, I could do that. And it was, like, amazing. And then I put rum in it, and it was even better. But it's also, like, a bitch to make. It takes forever. I'm not patient enough for it now that I'm realizing that how long it takes to make it. Because I drink it too fast. Okay, so for our episode today, since there are a lot of different holiday movies to go through. So we're just going to go through a real quick brief history of some of the first ones, and then we're going to go through some of the top-rated ones and some of the worst movies and TV specials, and then we'll talk about our favorites, and then, yeah.
So you're not just going to, like, read the Hallmark Channel's catalog for the month of December?
No. Or, like, TBS's or ABC Family. We're not going through any of those. So these first few movies I've never heard of or seen. Personally, because one, they happened a long time ago, and they're obviously not good enough to be recognized today. So when I was going through and looking for, like, what's the first Christmas film or, like, film based around the holiday season, the first one that I found was a movie in 1898 called Santa Claus, which is a British short silent drama film.
So
I didn't
look
too.
Is that what Tim Allen's movie is based on?
I don't think so. I hope not. But I just read that first tagline, and I was like, all right, I'm done looking at that, because that sounds terrible and boring and not for me. What do you mean? I can't see Santa Claus go ho, ho, ho in your movie? Get out of here, British short film. So for movies that were made specifically for theatrical release, the first one that I found in the U.S. specifically was in 1930, called The Unholy Three. And right before I go through this, some of these movies, like the first Christmas movies or like the first, like, direct-to-video Christmas movies, are not about baby Jesus, which is definitely what I would have expected. They all have, like, weird, like, synopsises on Wikipedia. So this first one in 1930, The Unholy Three, is about a trio of thieves who plan to steal a jewel on Christmas Eve. So it's basically like
about the three wise men stealing baby Jesus.
Ah, look at you.
But it sounds much cooler if they just steal a jewel. Like, it's totally separate. Like, they're in, like, Harlem or something. They stole everything. So, and then in 1932, we have A Bill of Divorcement, which is about a man who returns home on Christmas Eve after spending 15 years in an insane asylum, but finds out that things have changed a lot since he left.
Really? Things changed in 15 years?
This is depressing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then 1934, you have The Thin Man, a retired detective and his wife solve a mystery during Christmas.
So these are like die-harding before die-hard.
Yeah, die-harding before die-hard, basically. Which is not what I would have expected for like theatrical release movies. I definitely thought they would have went full baby Jesus.
Yeah, because like especially during this time, like when I was doing my thesis work, there was a book I read called Hollywood Be Thy Name, and a lot of the films during this period like were set specifically like on biblical tales and stuff like that. Yeah. With like live orchestras and everything. So it's really surprising that there actually isn't baby Jesus here.
Yeah. And maybe this is just from like the list that I pulled up, and they just didn't, maybe if I would looked up baby Jesus Christmas movies, maybe like there would have been a different list. But you know, as far as like movies that are centered around this time of Christmas. Year, this is what came up.
Yeah.
And then for made for TV or direct to video, like family to like adult films, the first one is in 1964, A Carol for Another Christmas, which is basically just a modernization of A Christmas Carol, which was used to promote the American support for the UN. So they went, you know, if you want to talk about using the holiday time to promote an agenda, like what bigger one is that?
Yeah.
This next one. All like the list of like the most like the worst Christmas movies ever. Like this showed up a whole bunch, but I kind of want to see it. It's 1964. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. the Martians kidnap Santa because there's nobody to give their children presents.
That's like cute and terrifying at the same time.
So I think this movie's actually a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode, I believe.
Yeah, when I was looking into it more, it said that it shows up on like almost any of the top 100 worst movie lists you look up. It's a good chance you're going to find this one in there.
Pretty sure this one's in there.
And then in 1966, we have A Christmas Memory, an award-winning adaptation of Truman Capote's, I don't know what any of these words are because I'm too
poignant, nostalgic, reminiscence about his childhood best friend.
Yeah, poignant, nostalgic, reminiscent about his childhood.
Somebody
best friend.
Is thinking about really yeah, strong about memories.
Friend, yeah, about his best friend, yeah. Yes. A childlike elderly relative with whom he makes fruitcakes and other gifts in Depression-era Alabama. That also sounds just like a terrible movie. Like, just the boringest thing ever.
That is Truman Capote.
Yeah, that sounds boring. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians sounds much more entertaining than that.
I want to watch that movie.
No, you want to watch it on the Mystery Science Theater 3000 version.
That also sounds cool, too. So made for TV or direct-to-video for children movies. And this is in basically throughout the entire 60s. And these are probably the biggest Christmas movies that are out there. And that are probably the ones that are going to be on. These are definitely the ones that are on, you know, the ABCs and TBSs and things like that.
Like the claymation stuff?
Yeah, all the stop-motion stuff. So,
yes.
1962, you have Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. 1965, A Charlie Brown Christmas. 1966, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. 1968, The Little Drummer Boy. 1969, Frosty the Snowman. And 1970, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So, those are probably like the biggest ones and most recognizable Christmas movies.
I've seen every one of those.
Yes. So have I. That's why I put more than just three, because I got to go. I actually know these movies, and I've watched them many, many a time.
My favorite one, is it here? Because I actually don't remember, because I watched them so much on ABC Family as a kid.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know what's situated what, but I just remember really liking the Heat Miser song.
That's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? Like when
yes,
they go
I think
to, like,
so,
the,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer movie is so much different than the song. Like, I wish they would have just, like, made that movie into, like, the actual song about all of his adventures.
I just love Heat Miser.
And they go, like,
as
to the,
I would.
The island of, like, lost toys and stuff. That was definitely not in the song, for sure. So for
no,
TV,
but that Babes in Toyland. Oh, I just remember that movie. That was one of my favorite. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I just got excited. I gotta go watch Christmas stuff now.
Okay, so for TV holiday specials, this one was kind of like harder to find. Like, what is the first TV holiday special? Because this one has like more secular stuff in it. Like, you know, in the 60s and stuff like that, they had, like, reenactments of, like, the nativity scene and things like that. So I didn't really count those as TV specials. I tried to find something that was, like, established already, and then they did a TV special around it. And the first one I found, which isn't technically, well, I don't know if it's, like, technically a TV special, but I put it in here anyway, which is 1978 Benji's Very Own Christmas Story. 1967 or 1978, the Bernstein Bears have a Christmas special, which is like way far back. I didn't know the Bernstein Bears would have.
I remember them like being a big part of my childhood. I can't believe they're that old.
Yeah, me too. I was kind of tripped out by that. I'm not gonna lie.
I also remember being a part of my adulthood because those now that people make fun of them and make the nice memes out of Bernstein Bears are awesome.
I did not know that. I need to go look into that. I wonder if there's any memes about the Christmas.
I also know they're part of the Mandela effect, that like, it, you know, yeah, that's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, it's one of those things where like you think something is a fact, but it's not exactly. Actually a fact, but everybody around you thinks it's a fact.
Yeah. And then 1981, A Chipmunk Christmas, and those are the three ones I found the earliest that I knew
cute.
Were, yeah, established properties that came up with TV holiday specials specifically. For like a specific episode, and now it's kind of like a thing now. Like, no, I can't think of any popular TV show now or that I've grown up on that doesn't have at least one holiday special, be it sitcoms to cartoon based to adult cartoons. Like, they all have some kind of one, and we'll talk about those a little bit later on. Some of my favorite holiday specials are from basically adult comedy. Cartoon comedies, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I'm probably going to go with.
So now we'll go through some of the best and worst for holiday movies. This one was kind of tough because it goes differently based on like what you look at. So Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb's ratings are kind of different in a lot of respects for some of these movies. So I just put both of them in there. So there's some crossover, but then there's like just completely different kinds of movies. So for Rotten Tomatoes, in terms of the in terms of the Rotten Tomatoes rating, 1946, It's a Wonderful Life is number one. 1947's Miracle on 34th Street is number two. 1942's Holiday Inn is number three. 1940's The Shop Around the Corner is number four. And 1967's The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is number five. I've seen two of these movies.
I've seen three, which the first, like, one and two are extremely depressing, and I don't know why the hell people love watching them during the holidays. Like, I know they're Christmas movies through and through. Like, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, but they are so depressing.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen Miracle on 34th Street once, and I was like, I don't like this at all.
God.
It's bad how I felt about Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah, I like any of those. And then for the worst, I haven't heard of most of these. For Rotten Tomatoes, in 2014, Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas is...
I'm sure Kirk Cameron in anything.
Except Growing Pains.
No, I'm pretty sure just thinking about him ruins that show now.
I'm pretty sure if there was like a negative Rotten Tomatoes meter, this would definitely be on the negative side. 2013, The Nutcracker in 3D. 2006, The Christmas Shoes... And
is that based on that song?
I have no idea.
Because there's a song called The Christmas Shoes, and it's extremely depressing.
I saw 0% in all of these, and I've only seen the first one, so I was like, I'm not going to look into these much at all. And then 1985, Santa Claus, the movie.
You saw Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas?
I've seen parts of it for, like, memes and, like, people making fun of it. I haven't seen the entire movie.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like...
I mean, I think for that, I think that counts because, like, that's probably more than most people have seen of that movie.
Plausible.
Yeah.
So for IMDb, I think they're a little bit more relevant. I think the Rotten Tomatoes one for best is kind of like they're old, so they're good kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is how, you know, Rotten Tomatoes viewed it. For IMDb, the best in terms of IMDb ratings, 1946, It's a Wonderful Life is number one. 1988's Die Hard is number two. People can debate if that's a Christmas movie or not. It's a Christmas movie. Get over it.
It's a Christmas movie. If it happens on Christmas, it's a Christmas movie.
Exactly. Hey, you just now saw that today. I did. Don't be coming in here like talking like you're defending Die Hard like you've seen it.
Well, no, I'm not defending Die Hard. I'm defending the premise that if it happens on Christmas, it is a Christmas movie.
I agree. 1951, A Christmas Carol is number three. 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is number four. And 1983, A Christmas Story is number five in terms of IMDb ratings.
I have a confession. I hate A Christmas Story.
I think it's like, very overrated.
I think it's very overrated.
Okay. Whoo, and hey, all three of us agree. It's a fact.
I think it's very overrated. I think there's like moments in it that like are cool, but as a movie, man, is it boring. Like, I remember, I think like last year, the year before, I was like, you never seen A Christmas Story, Stefani, my wife? And I was like, let's watch it. And I was like, I forgot.
It's always on TV, and so it's like 2 hours longer than it needs to be. And then TBS shows it like 24 hours on like Christmas, and I'm like,
My problem that's the first time I'd watched it all the way through in years. I realized that I've only ever seen it in bits and pieces periodically, like during the Christmas time. And I'm like, you know, the bunny scene. I like that one. When Santa kicks him down like there's stuff like that. But as a movie, it's not that great, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's a thing that like that your mom has playing while she's cooking, and you see different pieces as you're going into the kitchen to get food.
So one, the Christmas Carol one, depending on which one we're talking about, I guess the 1950 one, but some of the later versions of that is actually not that bad. Like I enjoy the Muppets one.
Christmas Carol. That one's really good.
I like that one a whole bunch. Yeah, it's crazy like how many times it's been redone, and like even though it's been redone a bunch of times, like it's still able to be done well.
And it's funny, too, because it's like, some of them are done shot for shot, and there's, like, so many adaptations of, like, Ghosts of Christmas Past, Ghosts of Ex-Girlfriend's Past, and, like, even A Wonderful Life is a take on the Christmas Carol story. Yeah. So, like, it's one of those stories that sticks with you.
I agree. If you think about, like, a lot of even like the TV holiday specials are just basically
a Christmas Carol.
Carol, and it just works when you put basically any character into it. And then for the worst, according to IMDb, I know Matt hates this, but we're going to talk about Star Wars for a second.
You know what? The fact that Star Wars is now keep being released more and more in December, and they're now bringing them all back, is making this holiday season even worse for me at this point.
I thought you said earlier that you didn't hate Star Wars.
I don't, but now I'm being having to be consumed by it.
Okay.
You can be consumed by it even more because IMDb rating wise, 1978's The Star Wars Christmas Special is one of the worst.
The holiday special, Adrian.
Oh, did I say Christmas special?
Yeah.
Yes.
1978, The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Don't make me throw my Starbucks cup at you.
Is one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
I think that's agreed upon by like all Star Wars fans too.
Yeah, like it's not even like it's so bad it's good. Like it's just bad. Have you ever seen it, Matt?
I feel like I've seen bits and pieces of it.
You should get a little loaded and then watch it.
That's actually I think two people said on Twitter when I asked about it. They're like, yeah, just get drunk and watch the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah, I might have to get drunk and watch it again because I haven't watched it since I think most people haven't watched this in years, but it's basically like Chewbacca and like some Wookiees on Kashyyyk and they're doing like a Life Day thing.
And creepy-ass Wookiees too.
It just gets real weird real fast. Maybe you don't have to watch it. Don't even worry about it, Matt. Don't even worry about it.
That sounds like 19... a bonus Patreon episode.
Yeah, right. And 1994, We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, which is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I've seen that.
I've seen it.
It's not very good. it's not very good at all. and I love the Ninja Turtles, but this is like, this is what happens when you're like, basically what happens with the Star Wars Holiday Special. This is what happens when you're too big and you just think you can do whatever and slap a sticker on it and hope people like it. And this is basically what that is. And then 1959's Santa Claus, which is, when I looked into it, is basically like a Mexican fantasy film centered around Christmas. I think there's like some demon stuff in it or something. I don't know how much I would want to watch that. And then 1964's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians makes it onto this list for IMDb. But I kind of want to watch it. It just sounds like a cool premise. I want to go see Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
The name alone makes me want to watch it.
Yeah. And then in 1966, there was a movie apparently called Santa with Muscles. I've never heard of this one. But this was also
1996, though. Like, this came out, and I do not recall this movie.
Yeah. It has Hulk Hogan in it, so I'm not sure, like, what the premise is if you put Hulk Hogan into a Christmas movie. But it's there if you want to go watch it, and you're just, like, a diehard Hulk Hogan fan, I guess.
Sure.
And then for Box Office Mojo, they have a list of movies set during the holiday season, and this is numbers based from 1980 to present and all adjusted for 2017. To be honest, even when I did adjust like the numbers, they weren't even that too far off from what this list is. So these movies are probably like the standard and kind of like how much money you can make in a Christmas slash holiday movie. So 1990's Home Alone is number one by a lot. It made $604 million adjusted income. 2000's How the Grinch Stole Christmas made $429 million. 1992's Home Alone 2 Lost in New York made $373 million. Santa Claus in 1994, this is the one with Tim Allen, made $308 million. And 2004's The Polar Express made $263 million, all adjusted, of course. So they don't make a whole bunch of money, but Home Alone made a bunch of money.
Because it's Home Alone.
But like,
and
people
it's an
didn't
awesome movie.
But people didn't know that Home Alone was
Home
Alone.
Yeah, I was like, you're saying that now.
Like, that's a lot of money. That's crazy.
I wonder why, because it all centers around a child star.
I don't know.
So it's not. I wonder what the marketing was for that.
I played the video games.
There were Home Alone video games?
Yeah.
That sounds really weird.
It does.
I could never get past the very last part of Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, with the bird lady.
Damn. That sounds, like, weird and really cool. Because, like, if you act, I don't know, I'm not going to go dark. I'm like,
oh, it sounds super dark. I was going dark in my head, so yeah. It's okay.
It like, are you okay. Just killing each tier?
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. No, thank you. So, commonly recognized great TV holiday episodes, and there's just way too many for me to mention on here, but I thought I would pick some of like the more popular shows that people would be able to recognize off the bat. So, well, one that came up almost on all of the top lists that I found was Frasier's Miracle on 3rd or 4th Street. I bet you can guess what that episode is based off of. Hey Arnold, Arnold's Christmas, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Twas the Night Before Christening, King of the Hill, Pretty Pretty Dresses, Futurama, Xmas Story, The X-Files. Yes. Yeah. The X-Files, How the Ghost Stole Christmas, and Lost the Constant. And there's a whole bunch of other ones that we could have mentioned and we can talk about.
I'm a little disappointed you did not put any of The Office episodes on there.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't like The Office, so I didn't put them on there. Yeah. When you do the holiday special, you can put them on there. It's my hot take for the episode. Yes, but The Office ones did show up a bunch. What else showed up a bunch? Simpsons, obviously. Yeah, Robot Chicken showed up on one of them.
Seinfeld should have one. Like, The Strike is probably one of, like, the most well-known Seinfeld episodes.
Seinfeld didn't show up nearly as much as I thought. I think Friends showed up.
Friends
showed up
more
than Seinfeld. Yeah.
Air your grievances.
Yeah.
That's my dad's favorite thing in the world, by the way.
Yeah.
And atheists have, like, claimed Festivus as, like, their holiday
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah. Or winter solstice for all of us.
For pagans.
You didn't even wish anyone a happy solstice this morning. That was the first thing my mom told me this morning was happy winter solstice.
Well, I didn't see you this morning like your mom did.
I know. I talked to her on the phone. You have my number.
I've actually probably haven't used your number in like a year.
I called you once, and that was to get you Star Wars tickets.
Accurate.
I've done my job as a friend with a phone.
Accurate. All right, so we'll go, since we're talking about some of our favorite episodes, holiday special-wise, we'll, I guess we can go into some of our favorites just overall. For me, basically, like, none of the movies that I really, really like in terms of, like, holiday-wise make it onto any of the lists that I really talked about, except for Die Hard, because I think Die Hard's great. I think it's a great movie. I think it's just, like, you could have set that in Halloween time, and it still would have been, like, the same movie, basically. But, hey, it's on Christmas, so it counts. I'm also a huge fan of Elf. I watch Elf every year, and I just never get tired of it. How the Grinch Stole Christmas with, why can't I remember his name? Why am I blanking on his name?
Jim Carrey.
See, I was thinking of Drew Carey because I was thinking of what? The fucking show. Because the Drew Carey show had like a holiday special, and it showed up on one of the lists, and I was like, ew, why? The Drew Carey show show up on this list. Yeah, with Jim Carrey. Gremlins, I think, is underrated for a Christmas movie.
It's not underrated in the horror community.
Yeah. I think it's great. I guess I never really saw it as a horror movie. I was like, man, this movie's cool.
And the premise is really great.
Yeah, creature feature. Yeah. And it just so happens to be set at Christmas, so it works.
Best part, they launch an old lady.
Yes!
Yes, they do.
It's so good.
Elmo Draft House is showing Gremlins, I think, this week. We might go see it. And then The Night Before. This is a newer one. It has, like, Seth Rogen and other people in it. I liked it because it's, like, a very, like...
It has Anthony Mackie in it, right?
Yeah, Anthony Mackie. I couldn't think of his name because I only know him. Yeah. I liked it because it was, like, a very, like, bro Christmas movie. And I was like, oh, this is a cute bro movie. And I like Seth Rogen, so that's the one I went with for my fifth one that was a little bit more recent. Because it really hasn't been that very many good Christmas movies, in my opinion, that have come out recently, other than Elf. And even Elf is getting pretty dated now in terms of like when it came out.
Yeah. The movies.
Get on it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go from like, I'm going to do my top five, but the last two are going to be my favorites because I have a thing for them. But like, so top five would be Gremlins, Home Alone, Babes in Toyland, this like animated like one that was on all the time on ABC Family, and I just love it. And the last two are Jingle All the Way and Krampus. And so like Jingle All the Way, it has Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad in it. And it's really awesome because you haven't seen it. It has to do with Black Friday and finding a kid for your toy. And it goes in perfectly to watch the horror movie Krampus, which opens with one of like the best opening scenes ever. It's like a slow-mo Black Friday thing. So like they open the doors and you have all of the people pouring in and like fighting over stuff. And because like Krampus is all about like this entirely horrible family has lost the Christmas spirit, and so Krampus has come to, you know, set them straight. And it's just a really great, like, fun horror movie, and it just works perfectly for the season and like makes you have that Christmas spirit, or Krampus is gonna get you. That's my all-time favorite. And I bought it last year when I was putting together my Christmas present from my mom, and so I've watched it at least 10 times since then. It's made by Michael Dougherty, who's a horror director who did the trigger. Like, his ultimate goal is to make a horror movie for every holiday. And he's done Halloween, he's done Christmas, and so he has the other ones to do. So, yeah.
Can we confirm or deny if Sinbad's actually alive?
He's alive. That's another Mandela effect.
I think people sleep on Jingle All the Way, for sure.
I think that movie's good.
Definitely slept on.
That was one of my favorite movies when I was little. It was so good.
actually haven't watched it in years, so I don't know if it's still good. I don't know. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Well, no. Like, so I guess it's good because we're still doing the same crazy crap fighting over toys. Like, that is something that is still happening right now. Like, is the acting dated? Yeah, it's a 90s movie. But, like, we're still doing that. So, yeah.
I like it.
And Arnable mentioned the horror anthology Holidays, which has little different segments for each holiday. That's a fun one.
I didn't know we were doing honorable mentions.
Yay!
Yeah, honorable mention. Tim Allen's Santa Claus.
I think that should be a staple.
Just because, like, the more you think about that movie, the more messed up it is. And, yes, like, how... Yeah, it's a messed up movie. Once you really think about the plot of the movie, it's really messed up.
But the hot chocolate looked amazing, and I've never seen hot chocolate look that great. That was my takeaway from that movie. Yeah, because they have like that. They make like a special hot chocolate in the movie, and it looks really great. Tim Allen's like a terrible human.
I just always think about like how the end of the movie when he's like, the kid's like, I want to be like my dad when I grow up. I'm like, so you're going to kill your dad to be Santa?
Yes.
Is that what's going to happen here? Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, Matt, my God. Somebody make that movie, please.
It's my turn, Dad. With a candy cane, like straight to the throat. Oh, God. What about you,
Somebody
Matt?
Tell Michael Dougherty to do that.
Obviously, I'm going to go with Die Hard. And then probably Gremlins, Home Alone, probably the... I always want to say the first one is better, but the second one I remember better, which is weird.
Probably because you were younger when you saw the first one?
Maybe? Not by much. I mean, the movies are only released 2 years apart. Mm. And then probably from there, I really don't care for a lot of Christmas movies. So, I mean, obviously I could go with one of these, but I really don't... Like, I don't care for the Jim Carrey, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, or... Jingle All the Way, or Krampus. I'd almost rather...
You've never seen Krampus. You can't say that.
I'd rather fight to say that the...
Have you seen the American Dad episode with Krampus?
That thing is so good.
Then yes, you've already seen Krampus, don't worry.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
No. No. No.
The only one I could probably, technically try to make an argument for, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Would count.
That is definitely a Christmas movie. Yeah.
Actually really enjoy that movie. That's probably about the only ones I can really think of. I mean, obviously I know these, but I just don't care for a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, like, if you don't like them, you don't like them. You're screwed, remember?
You have to like them.
I guess I can go with Bill Murray's Scrooge. It's not that bad.
All right. Yeah. All right. I can go with that.
Or a Muppets Christmas Carol. I'll go with one of those.
Oh, yeah. Two. Muppets.
We're going to go with those. I'll go with the Muppets.
I love Muppets Treasure Island.
Yeah. Like it's crazy how well the Muppets fits into, like, the Christmas Carol. Like, if you would have told me, like, that was, like, they just came up with that, I would have believed you when I was a kid just because I thought how good it was.
Like, I just liked it in the Muppets. There's a bunch of random things that Easter eggs. Like, I believe a Beaker flips off half the people in, like, The Muppets Christmas Carol.
I didn't know that. What?
Okay.
All right. That's going in the show notes.
Fun facts with Matt.
There's a bunch of little tidbits from the Muppets they add, almost like how Disney does with a lot of, like, the weird sex thing. The Muppets kind of do a lot of those fun things, too, if you look closely.
You do remind me of those old men.
Which one?
The ones that sit in the balcony.
Oh.
I can see that as well. All right, I guess we can go into...
You know what my worst Christmas movie is so far?
What?
Olaf's New Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty unanimous, to be honest.
That's accurate.
Hey, if it was 10 minutes shorter, it might have been one of my favorite shorts ever. And then
I might have been okay with it, but nope.
Then they
did
it.
They just kept going.
Like, if it would have ended after, like, the... Because the part about it that I really, really liked was the... And this is... I don't... If we're spoiling this for you, I'm sorry. Get over it.
I don't care.
I don't care. You know what? If Disney really wanted you to watch it, they would have put it out on DVD like they meant to.
Exactly. When Olaf's going door to door and he's hearing about, like, Christmas traditions and things like that. I like that. So like, oh, yeah. That's cute. Everyone has some kind of, or most people have some kind of thing that they do every year on Christmas. I know that we do with my family. And I was like, oh, that's cute. But then it went on for another 15 minutes.
Yeah. I was like, how far away is the damn village from the castle? Like, what the
like,
hell?
Like, how the hell did you get away so far? Like, what is this? God. Where's the big ice monster? Tell him to come back.
I hate that short. I hate that episode of really bad television episode. That had nothing to do with Coco.
Yeah, exactly. That's the worst thing about it. Like, you couldn't have come up with, like, a Christmas movie and then just put that in front of it. You bastards. I guess we'll go into the TV special episodes. And going through my list, like, all of my episodes are kind of, like, anti-Christmassy now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, the sad part is I'm looking at your list and I'm like, I'm pretty sure for sure the top three are on mine or of yours are on mine as well.
It's all right. So and these are in no particular order. These are just the ones when I think about, you know, like holiday specials or Christmas specials. These are the ones that pop into my head like immediately. So I'm gonna go with these are my top five since I remember them the most. Futurama's Xmas Story, and that's the one where Santa Claus is basically like a big robot, and every year he comes to kill everybody. I don't know why that's so endearing, but it's so good. South Park has a bunch of really good Christmas episodes.
This one is the best.
Mr. Handy's, you know, Christmas poop, but South Park Woodland Christmas Critters is so good. Something about Christmas critters going nuts. About the Antichrist and then not changing their voice and things. I don't know. It just really, really gets me.
All I know is that twist when all of a sudden the critters just go crazy and turn into, like, the possessed Antichrist thing is, like, one of those, like, what the hell am I watching?
So, like, as somebody who loves cute things but also, like, has a shirt that says, Let's Summon a Demon, this episode resonates me on a deep level. on a very deep level.
I really, really like it. American's Dad's Minstrel Krampus, which is basically about Krampus in the holiday
season. It's also so good.
It's also so good because, like, the song that he sings is dope. And it's a good episode.
I need to know what song I'm going to close out with because I already have, like, three in my head, but they're all really good and I don't know what to go with.
Oh, that one's really good. I really, really like that one. And then it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, A Very Sunny Christmas. Again, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so you know it's not going to be your typical Christmas story. Yeah. And as someone who loves Christmas, I don't know why all of these, like, anti-Christmas shows, episodes, like, resonate with me so well. And then How I Met Your Mother, How Lily Stole Christmas is one of my favorite episodes of How I Met Your Mother. And if I had to do an honorable mention, it'd probably be, I don't know the name of the actual episode, but the Family Guy episode where they... Yes. Where Brian and Stewie go to the North Pole.
It's one of the, like, you know, they do the road to, like, road to Germany or road to, like, North. I think it's the road to North Pole. Road to the North Pole, I believe.
Yeah. And, like, Santa's, like, dying.
Yeah, road to the North Pole. Hey, yeah, road to the North Pole.
And he's like, and that's, even the song of that one episode is really good.
Yes.
It's Christmas time, it's killing us. Like, it's so good. Yeah, and those are my favorite ones. They're all anti-Christmas.
To, like, radioactive stuff, I believe.
Yeah.
Talking to the mic.
Yeah, those are mine. Kate, do you want to go next?
I was just going to go next because the first three you mentioned, Futurama, American Dad, and South Park, and then your honorable mention I was going to talk about with the Road to the North Pole.
Those are the four.
And then basically the... as I mentioned earlier, the Robot Chicken Christmas ones are also pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go left field here. But I'll start it off, like, right. Woodland Critter Christmas, yes. And Xmas Story, yes. But then I watched a Fresh Off the Boats episode called The Real Santa. And it's just hilarious. They're an Asian American family. And so the mom tells the little boy... that the real Santa is Chinese, and so he goes to school and everybody is like, no, Santa's white. And so what happens is they need to hire a Santa. The mom agrees to, and she does her Asian Santa, and it's freaking awesome because she, like, scares all the little kids there. But she solidifies to her child that Santa is Chinese. It's really great.
I totally forgot about that one. That one is so good. That one is so good.
it's one of my favorites.
I love her. I love her so much.
And then Chanukah, which was the Rugrats episode, where, like, the Rugrats go and save Hanukkah. Yeah, I really that one, like that one.
That one was on a bunch of lists, too.
Yeah, because, like, Rugrats. And then The Office Christmas Party. This is the one with Inky Swap, where Jim means to give Pam the teapot. And it's so heartfelt and anxiety-ridden as well the entire time. Because she just wants the damn iPod. was that five? I think that was five.
Honorable mentions, by the way, in that would be BoJack Christmas one that was just released. Yes, pretty good.
That's what I was going to say.
And, dang it, you said the other one. Oh, the League Christmas one where Taco, I'm pretty sure, talks about killing everybody. He goes to be Krampus.
Oh my god!
But he does it in the mall, and so he's just yelling like deaf to everybody.
I have not seen that one. That sounds like a good time though.
And Ruxin gets banned from the mall because he hates Christmas music.
I remember that because then he starts saying that the mall is anti-Semitic.
Yep.
Oh, we like really fucked up episodes.
Yeah, now the more I think about it, all the ones I like are like...
I mean...
Maybe I like them because they all are all like... They're all like anti-overindulging of, you know, like the season. Maybe that's why I like them so much. Because like you're not... I don't know. Or maybe they're just really funny and I like seeing Satan little critters.
I know, I do.
During Christmas time. Maybe that's why.
Taco yelling, "I'm going to kill all your kids."
What it's about awesome. Supernatural's holiday episode?
Huh?
Supernatural.
Oh, yes, the pagan one. Well, which one? There are a couple. I don't know. But the best I just said Supernatural because
I know it's one of your favorite shows, so I just wanted to see if you would
bring it up.
One of the best things, like, when Supernatural does filler, they usually do it for the holiday episodes. And so, essentially, they find that people have been getting killed because they go and buy these, like, special, like, authentic holiday wreaths. But really, what the wreaths are offerings to pagan gods. So, when you put it up, you're, like, marking your house. Like, I want to be eaten by the pagan god. And then they get captured by the pagan gods. And they're like these sweet Mr. and Mrs. Claus couple. And they're so cute little old people, like, getting ready to eat Sam and Dean. And it's awesome. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a thing. Yeah. That is a thing. Yeah, I can't really think of any other ones that, like, stick out to me that I would know off the top of the head.
Hey, Arnold.
He mentioned that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Okay. I do like one of the two favorite sci-fi shows of Eureka and Warehouse 13 are not that bad.
Yeah, Eureka's is really good because it's different. Yes. It's way, way different. I know another
Warehouse
one.
Warehouse 13 is the same way.
Yeah, I know one that shows that was showing up that I haven't seen was Community. I guess ER had one. Doctor Who.
Doctor Who's is. Really, really sad. Really, really, really sad. Yeah, and that's why I didn't bring it up, because it makes me cry.
I mean, if you can go about House, I believe, has a few of them that are probably extremely depressing.
And when I say Doctor Who, I mean Tennant's Doctor. Ten. Yes, that one.
Yeah, that one.
With Donna's dad.
Yeah, so there's a lot to choose from. I think the reason why shows are able to do this stuff is just because there's so many different kinds of ways you can go about it that I can't really think of any of my favorite Christmas specials or holiday specials for specifically like the TV series that are basically the same as the other ones, because they all kind of just go about it in a totally different way, and for whatever reason it just hits, and it's kind of like a staple or tropey at this point that, like, if you're a successful television series, you better have a holiday episode in there somewhere.
So does that mean we're a successful podcast because we have a holiday special?
Hey, you know, 50 episodes, that's about, you know, 5 seasons worth of TV. I think that works.
Yeah.
Well, unless we're in Cartoon Land.
True.
Oh, then that's like half a season.
Yeah. Are there any like anime Christmas specials that you could think of?
Not really.
The little drummer boy on Robot Chicken, it turns into Goku.
He's pretty dope. He's pretty dope.
Does that count?
Top 10 anime Christmas specials. And you can cut this out. I'm just genuinely curious because I didn't even think about it until right now. I don't know that anime. I don't know this anime. I don't know this anime.
I also think, too, like, it's one of those things where, like, there have been so many, and we've all probably watched so many, that there are probably some that we're sleeping on right now because there's just too many to count.
So. Yeah, no, like, it's obvious, too, because the Fresh Off the Boat one is great. That is such a great episode. And I totally forgotten about it.
It's super freaking good.
Jim Gaffigan does a great bit on Christmas.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, the Boondocks.
Oh, the Boondocks one is really good, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, a Huey Freeman Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, that one's really good, too. But I'm definitely going to go watch a few of my favorite episodes tonight, for sure.
Ren and Stimpy's was creepy. Yes. As is Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, like, Ren and Stimpy is creepy. I should have been the sentence, because it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so should we wrap up? Because we're just going to keep going down this hole.
Yeah. Yeah, ho, ho, ho.
This ho, ho, ho.
That is terrifying.
Oh, my God. Okay, so apparently there is a movie called The Christmas Toy, and it looks like freaking Chucky.
Nope.
But it's not.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. That is terrifying. I've seen this! I've totally seen this, and it scared the crap out of me, but I've seen this entire thing. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, okay, sorry. It's just really creepy. But I've totally watched The Christmas Toy, and it's like a Muppets thing. 5 out of 5 plain red Starbucks cups.
Yes. One of my most disappointing cartoon ones would be Ice Age's little Christmas special, by the way.
I think I would just say that in general, like, every, if you go on Netflix, like, you'll probably find, you know, 50 Christmas
specials.
Madagascar
Christmas.
Yeah. Like, Trolls Christmas, like, almost everything now has a Christmas special in terms of, like, movies, and it just doesn't work at all.
And we didn't even talk about, like, the Hallmark Channel Christmas movies, or the Lifetime Christmas movies, or now the Netflix ones, A Christmas Prince.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even watched it. I just know Netflix is calling people out. I don't want Netflix to call me out on it.
Why? You know, they're saying thank you for watching it?
No, Netflix was like, a total of nine people had watched it or something like that, and had watched it, like, multiple times. So, let me pull up the exact tweet, because it was funny as hell.
I'm gonna go watch it now.
I thought it was, I thought the one was, like, who had watched this for, like, 15 straight days.
Yeah, some, like, a person like who'd watched it, like, 14.
Was that your mom?
Yeah.
Isn't your mom ask us about watching Hallmark movies?
Yeah, she gets stuck on the Hallmark course.
Oh, to the 53 people who watched Christmas Prince every day for the past 18 days, who hurt you?
Yep.
Yeah, and that spun off a whole bunch of thing of, like...
Oh, Belschnickel! The Belschnickel episode of The Office, where Dwight gets to do whatever he wants at the Christmas party, and so he dresses up as Belschnickel and gives everybody bowls, and he either puts a treat in it or he hits you with his stick. Okay, I'm done. Are you impish or are you admirable? Okay, we gotta wrap this up. We're going everywhere.
Holiday specials, holiday movies, they're not going anywhere. We're going to get new ones every year. They're not, you know, destined to be good. But the good thing about it is that you can always go back every single year and go watch your favorite movies, your favorite episodes. These are just some of ours. We'd be happy to hear about your guys' favorite episodes, our listeners, during this time. Maybe we missed some, because we definitely know we missed some. We were even thinking about them as we were going through this episode. So if there's something that we missed, something that you love, let us know. We'll go back and watch them and have a holly jolly Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, Winter Solstice. Am I missing any? Did I get it all?
Life Day?
Life Day? Ugh, Life Day.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. You're a wizard,
also,
Harry.
Also, is Harry Potter a Christmas movie?
I guess that counts. I mean, it takes place during Christmas time, and I guess it works.
Also, we want to say, and although we do wish a happy Christmas to everybody listening right now, a super extra special happy Christmas to Shannon Joy for becoming our newest patron.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Interactive on Twitter, Shannon. We love you.
Well, Adrian really doesn't because you disagree with him on Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
You can cut that. You can cut it out, obviously.
I know, but...
I'm just trying to be nice, goddammit.
This is a time of war.
I can't. Oh, my God.
I'm going to let you drive into that fucking cannon.
You're not going to save him?
No.
You're supposed to save me.
Dummy?
No, yeah, save me, dummy.
Okay. God, we're not even drunk. Imagine if we had done this episode drunk.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Shannon. You're awesome. Also, if you're a patron listening to this, I hope you got your holiday cards by now, but I was kind of lazy and took a while to send them out. Matt is also glaring at me because he kept telling me to send them for like the past 2 weeks. I apologize. If you haven't got them, you have a little something to look forward to.
Don't let her apologize for that. She was lazy.
You're getting coal in your stocking now.
So you can find us at But Why Though PC on Instagram and Twitter, at facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC, and our website, butwhythoughpodcast.com. And remember to send us questions. We want questions. We want to talk to you and answer whatever you want. Doesn't have to be pop culture related. It can just be you wanting to know our deepest, darkest, whatever you're interested in. Oh, that could go very bad.
Yeah.
We'll try it. As always, you can find me at @OhMyMythRandier on Instagram and Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperRUIZ93.
Matt?
And you can find me on Twitter at @DatM18DATTM18.
Have a holly jolly... No.
Why are you looking at me?
Oh.
Silver bells. I don't know. I love... So we should talk about that too. Favorite Christmas songs. The holiday songs.
Christmas time is killing us. Each Christmas list gets us more and more distilled. The thought of existence is chilling us. I'll tell you what, shove your list up your butt, because Christmas time is killing us.
But can't you see that what you do is a dream come true? Can't you see that every smile makes it all worthwhile?
No, screw you, it's all but through, there's too much to do. All those dreams are nightmares and blank icy stares. Each little elf used to fill up a shelf, making playthings and selflessly thrilling us. Now they're on crack and it feels like Iraq, because Christmas time is killing us. Each model train only